The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Final hour, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, who needs no introduction. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Well, we're all better now, aren't we?
We are. Been waiting on this all day.
Yeah.
So much better. Woke up this morning, the day before spring. It's 19 degrees outside, and I said, you know what? It's all good. Corey Curtis is going to be on with us at 8 o'clock here today.
You know, I'm going to encapsulate the whole day in one thing. Just a few words. Tom Izzo, the Jets, and I don't know what else.
They're very good. Very nicely done. Corey, we were talking earlier about Kevin Byard and the situation going on with the Titans. Obviously, multiple reports saying that the Titans have asked him to take a pay cut. He has declined that, which I do not blame Kevin Byard for declining that. What do you make of that, the Titans asking him to take a pay cut, and where you think this could lead? As we know, we've seen situations before. Anytime you start messing with somebody's money, a lot of times they don't react well to that. What do you make of the situation between the Titans and Kevin Byard?
Well, I usually try to be careful because I'm not in the room. I don't know what's said. And, you know, no one's told me, hey, this is what our plan is. So that's the first caveat. I don't know those things. On the outside looking in, it appears to be a catastrophic miscalculation, is all I can say. This is a guy who arguably is your best player of the last 10 years. I don't believe they have another two-time All-Pro on the roster. Has not missed a game in 7 years. A game. For a team that has gone through 180 players the last 2 years, this guy is out there. And not just out there, making plays to win games or keep you in games, has just done it on a week-by-week basis, continues to take care of himself, continues to be there, continues to do everything you could possibly ask of a player on the field, off the field, in the locker room, and you ask him to take a pay cut. If I were him, I'd be upset. There's no other way around it. It's everyone has a job to do on this team, and it includes Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel and Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard's job is not to fix the Titans' salary cap problem because they had a previous GM who wrote some horrifically bad deals.
That's okay. I thought you had more. Well, let me play devil's advocate on that. We all know Kevin Byard well. Like you said, he's been tremendous. Yeah. He just won the first Good Guy Award. I'd say give him the next few. You know, and
if he's here,
I don't care if he's here. I say give it to him. Right. Yeah,
But, by the way, that's got nothing to do with my take on this whatsoever.
No, so where I'm going with that is, you know, I said this earlier on the show, Corey. So many guys, especially in that secondary, guys he's been close with over the years, you know, have come and gone, and in some cases maybe a little earlier than you would have expected. You know, you think about like Adoree Jackson and, you know, Vaccaro. Which was
Got
like the right timing. But regardless,
he's
always asked.
And to me, if anybody in that locker room understands what this is, that it is straight up a cold hard business, it's him.
Yeah.
So I just have a hard time buying that he's going to be that surprised slash hurt slash offended that this is going to be some huge. But again, I say that without, just like you, knowing the exact plan, the exact numbers that are being discussed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't. And yes, he does know the business. And we all looked at his contract and said, you know, maybe. But again, there are other places to go for the money. You can restructure contracts. We've seen it over and over again. But to tell a guy who is still performing at a level among the very best safeties in the game that he is no longer worth what you're paying him, because that's what he's going to hear, is hard. You know, guys don't mind restructuring because that just means they get more of their money earlier. But to be telling them, we love you, but we don't want to pay you this much. I know Chris Sanders has a story about this with Floyd Reese and how he took a pay cut. And Floyd, you know, told him he had to take the pay cut or I'm gonna have to release you. There was a difference. Chris wasn't the Titans' number one receiver at the time. He just wasn't. And, you know, Kevin Byard is a star for this team on defense and has continued to be a star for this team on defense. And I have a hard time with it. I understand the business of it. I mean, because I'm one and this may be contradictory to what I'm saying. I would understand if they moved on from Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. But I also look at where those guys are in their contracts and at the stage they are in their career. And I say, okay, I get it. You know, Derrick Henry is approaching to be a 30-year-old running back. We all know what that typically means. And we also saw that they can continue to run the ball without him. Maybe not to the same, you know, prolific level, but, you know, we don't know if he can run at the same prolific level this next season. So we'll see. So I contradict myself some there, but that's, you know, this guy is just different to me.
Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rex. So, Corey, what do you make of what the Titans have done to this point in free agency? You know, Jordan Schultz reporting this morning that they've added a corner and Sean Murphy Bunting coming over from Tampa Bay. We know about Andre Diller. We know about the moves they made with Arden Key, the linebacker moves that they've made. What do you make of what Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have done to this point in free agency?
I think the words that I use to describe it best are fiscally responsible. You know, most of the deals are short. Most of the deals are not, you know, horrific, you know, towards the cap, and none of them are over $10 million a year. And, you know, are any of them over 3 years?
I don't think so.
Which is a big change, you know, for this team from what we've seen. And so it's kind of an interesting strategy, and I was thinking before you guys called, you know, what does this mean, what their plan is for the roster with these short-term deals? I mean, it kind of says to me they plan to get a lot younger in the next few years, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, I would say so too. You know, I mean, they've gotten younger. I think you'd argue they've gotten more athletic, and like you said, they've kind of nibbled around the edges without, you know, a big investment. So with all of that in mind, because, you know, look, I mean, I think I like the addition at corner, and I like a lot of these additions. I mean, I think I like the potential of them. But again, like, bring it back to Byard. First of all, even with Byard, to me, like, that's now the position where you're like, boy, do you need depth? Like, you may need to really invest a prominent, you know, pick in, especially with Amani Hooker struggling to stay healthy last year, right?
Yeah, why don't you ask him to take a pay cut?
Yeah, there is that.
There is that. Tandem pay cuts?
Get him to take a pay cut, somebody else?
I mean, he got a substantial amount of money.
So do you look at the entire picture? Like, how do you view their view of next season? If that makes sense.
No, it does make total sense, and it's what we've all been trying to figure out this offseason, right? You know, do they still, you know, I know a lot of people, like, Mike Vrabel won't accept a rebuilding year.
Right.
But, you know, the fact is they got cap issues, and whether you think it's real or not, and they're obviously trying to maneuver those without really hamstringing themselves in the future. Because, you know, you would think that some of these short-term deals are because you're going to have a backloaded deal with Jeffrey Simmons. And so you're creating space in the next couple of years, you know, because you're not going to be able to go real high, you know, up front. And so, you know, that would be interesting, you know, to see there. You know, look, with their front on defense, I think they can still be in a lot of games. It's hard to, you know, say, are they going to be contenders? Are they going to win the Super Bowl? You know, when you got to go against Mahomes and Burrow and the like of everything they're going to do. But I think, you know, I don't think that they're trying to get the first pick. I'll put it that way. I think they're trying to strategically give themselves players that fit what they want to do. Maybe it's a more analytics approach. Without having the analytics in front of me, maybe that is part of it.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Aren't we going to discuss the thriller last night at MSG?
Couldn't have. Well, there is that.
It was also a sport with a touchdown.
There was a sport with a touchdown last night. What'd you make of where the Preds are and what happened this weekend?
Well, you know, I was exciting because I thought, you know, the Preds, it's not often you see this in a hockey game. They could have scored 6 goals in a row in a 130 span and still lost the game.
Yes. Yes, they could have. Yes, they could have. Not great yesterday from the Preds. Corey, great stuff as always. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, we'll get back into the NCAA tournament. The Tennessee Vols take down Duke and advance to the Sweet 16. We'll take your thoughts on that next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
We train hard. We work hard. Many teams work really, really hard. But if you could be with us and be with these guys over the last 4 years of what we've gone through, but if the work ethic they put into it, and we say it all the time, let's trust our training. Let's trust each other. And I think that we're built for the way we play. And I think these guys, they certainly believe in each other. And we've got, like, I'm sitting here looking at this stat sheet, and O had a day-to-day, which he's capable of having and can consistently. Jonah, I'm looking at Josiah. He has the ability to do what he did today. Santi. So we got different guys, and they've all done it at some point in time. And I do believe that these guys have a terrific belief in each other, and they respect each other at the highest level.
That was Rick Barnes, Tennessee head coach, after Tennessee takes down Duke over the weekend. They win 65-52, and they advance to the Sweet 16. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Manchester Orchestra and Jimmy Eat World at Ascend Amphitheater on July 28th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, caller number 3. We'll win a pair of tickets to see Manchester Orchestra and Jimmy Eat World at Ascend Amphitheater on July 28th, 615-737-1025. Joe, you were in the house on Saturday down in Orlando for Tennessee taking down Duke. Olivier Kamwa, 27 points, 10 of 13 from the field for the Vols on Saturday. A legendary performance from him. Vescovy, 4 of 8 from 3, 14 points in the game. And Tennessee advances to the Sweet 16, taking down the Duke Blue Devils when not a whole lot of people picking Tennessee to win that game. What did you make of the Vols and their performance on Saturday against the Blue Devils?
It was pretty epic. And I think the biggest win for Rick Barnes at Tennessee, right?
I think so. I mean, I'm trying to think.
Tournament wins are just flat out bigger than any. You know,
agreed. Had,
yeah, I mean they beat number one Arizona with
even
Grant
SEC
Williams.
Tournament. Like yeah.
Yeah, right. Like the win over Kentucky in 19 with Grant Williams was that was an epic game, and it was Kentucky is the benchmark, and so right. So at that point in your program, but yeah, to beat Duke, and I know the thing is that you know down the road because it's Duke, it might seem a little different, like actually in a way, like bigger in terms of who you beat. Like there's a reason Duke was a 5 seed here. And so some of the wild, like Tennessee would have no chance against Duke. I can think of one person who had that take. It wasn't really rooted in the reality of this season. Tennessee was actually quite a bit better than Duke all season. But Duke's red hot. Duke won the ACC tournament. And Tennessee, as we know, 7-13 losses going into that game. So it worked out perfectly. First of all, in their advantage, it worked out perfectly. They got to hear all about it. They didn't have to fake it like Georgia saying people picked us to go 5-7. They actually had – I mean, they had a board. I'd love to see the board. I wish I could see the board, but Josiah James after the game is like, yeah, you know, they listed all the people who picked Duke and then put some little quotes they said. And I was like, God, I'd love to know that. I mean
– they have you on the board?
Well, I picked Tennessee.
I know.
I don't.
Were you the Lone Ranger over there?
Well, I'm sure they ignored me. Yeah, they're not going to count that. Yeah, no, that didn't happen. But my guy Brendan Marks, who covers Duke and North Carolina for the Athletic, we had a back and forth, and his last line of the thing was "Long live regular season Rick." And then, yeah, in the comments, I'm like, "You just got Duke blown out, bro." Well, So the psychology was big, but also just Tennessee. Their defense is still elite, and we saw this. And it was tough sledding for Duke. And I tell you what, Plavsic gets a couple fouls early, I think does set a tone. And then, you know, Vescovy tries to clear, and he cuts Filipowski under the eye, okay? Yep. And it was a pretty physical game, and they play great defense. I mean, here's a comment on my column about the game. Well, yes, Duke had trouble against physical violence. Muggings are like that. Joe's writing a story about how manly the muggies were. Muggers were. Good on him. This is like the Duke fan reaction to this. I need Adam Vingan weighing in on this.
You've made Duke Twitter really mad.
Yeah.
By the way, didn't hear anything from Adam.
I have not heard anything from Adam Vingan. I need to know what Vingan thinks about this. And if I hear whining about how Tennessee was like the Pistons of 1989, I mean, come on. I can already see this is going to be a thing this week, isn't it? This is going to be some big thing where everybody's talking about, oh, the Dirty Vols.
Those bullies.
I mean, first of all, Plavsic, one of those fouls was a flop. One of them he absolutely hip-checked. I mean, it was like, here, have 265 pounds.
There's a little spiciness coming out of the gate from Plavsic.
Sure.
He's always very spicy.
Yeah. Oh, and well, he talks trash without question. I mean, he is the most intense guy on the team. And then again, Vescovy tries to clear. And actually, I'm pretty sure he hit Filipowski with the ball, right? Yeah. And he cut him. So now that turns into, they're punching all our players! Yeah. I mean, my God.
I will say the picture, though, of the Duke player. Maybe it was on your article, some Athletic article, about Tennessee winning, and it's just the kid on Duke, and he's got this just blood on his eye. It's picture perfect for the narrative some people want to have.
Exactly. You know, it perfectly feeds into the narrative, and it was like a guard tried to clear the ball.
Well, did you hear the FAU coach?
No, what'd he say?
After the game, he's like, oh, I got to get my Australian rules football. Got to get ready for those Vols
start
or something.
Start working the refs right now.
Here we go.
Hey, good for him. He has a big win, the first Sweet 16 in school history, and he starts working the refs for Tennessee. Yeah. Look, it's like, have we ever talked about that all year? About like how, oh, they're physical, grind, like they beat the crap out of teams. I don't think so.
Matter of fact, most of the time we've talked about the opposite of, they're so big and so physical. Why don't you get inside and use it a little bit more?
Yeah, yeah, right. I mean, look, Jonas Adu, I don't know if he hit anybody. We haven't talked about him yet today, but Jonas Adu, you know, obviously Olivier Kamwa is the star of the game. He's the story of the game. Offensively, 13 straight points, 27 points. He blew the game up for Duke. But Jonas Adu, to me, actually, the two fouls on Plavsic worked out pretty well because he immediately came in and his length changed the game. For anybody who's watched Duke this year, Derek Lively, too, is a 7-1 freshman who I still can't recall taking a shot. he doesn't shoot. He doesn't do anything offensively. He's still going to be a first-round pick because he might be the most ridiculous, recovering, shot-blocking, athletic, defensive big I've ever seen as a freshman in college. Well, Jonas Adu was on that level as well. And Jonas Adu, for people who don't know, Durham, North Carolina, hates Duke.
Yep.
Carolina fan, but he was amazing in this game. It wasn't about elbowing anybody, or it was about ripping down the defensive rebounds, finishing defensive possessions with rebounds, and it was blocking and changing shots left and right. I mean, that's what they did. They stayed in front of people. They switched. They communicated. They made things tough, and it had nothing to do with some kind of like bully ball.
LD from McMinnville on the text line says, kind of like Major League, the Vols had a cardboard cut out of Jared in their locker room. Maybe so.
Maybe.
I mean, Jared did say that he guaranteed a Duke win heading into the game.
Yeah. Now, I don't know
if that has since been responded to quite loudly by Vol Twitter.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Now, he tweeted this before, like, the day of the game?
He tweeted this the day of the game.
Yeah. That's the thing. But listen, Jared was far from on an island just in terms of, oh, come on. They don't have a chance. Michelle and I, we talked about it that
Listen,
day.
Listen, I was getting ripped on Saturday morning before you
like
got on
the text
there.
Line or people calling in?
Text line. And Junie. People were ripping me.
Junie too, huh?
It's Duke, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's not actually. Like, the ACC, people need to realize the ACC, if Miami didn't make it in last night.
Zero.
40 years of having at least one ACC team in the Sweet 16. It's not the ACC anymore. Right. It really isn't.
No, it's just a bad year for them. So part of that is Carolina preseason number one, not in the tournament. Yeah. But yeah, like
Syracuse sucks.
Yeah, had to get that in, didn't you?
Got a text that says, "Why hasn't anyone held Jared accountable today? He had a solid 15-minute rant on Friday where he guaranteed that Tennessee had no chance against Duke. He stated he never guarantees anything, but guaranteed a Duke win. 15 solid minutes." This from an unnamed texter on the text line.
I mean, I wasn't able to listen, but if there's some juicy. Yeah, exactly. But if there's some juicy, I'd love to hear some of that. Maybe I'll have to go back and find that. That sounds fun.
Now, in other news, he has now said that Tennessee is going to kill Florida Atlantic coming up this week. So I don't know how Vols fans feel about that.
Oh, man. All the takes.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on Tennessee advancing to the Sweet 16. What did you make of the game Saturday? What does this win mean for this program and for Rick Barnes? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs, maybe even Joe Rexroad, to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Discussing Tennessee's win against Duke, the Vols advance to the Sweet 16. They'll take on FAU coming up later this week. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Phil on the text line says, Tennessee is not a good team, and you can't convince me Rick Barnes just magically figured out how to coach in March. Frauds always get exposed. Let's go Owls, with 4 exclamation points from Phil on the text line.
Okay. Vandy fan?
I don't know.
By the way, a Vandy fan angrily texted me today about our lack of talking about Vandy. That was a heck of a win over Michigan.
It was a heck of a win in the NIT.
Still a great win.
I'm just saying.
I mean, it's
I'm not spending a whole lot of time talking about the NIT.
I got you. I don't disagree. I'm just saying. I think it deserved. It was an incredible collapse by Michigan and win by Vanderbilt. Yeah, look. I don't know about Rick Barnes just magically figuring out how to coach in March. He has been to a Final Four. He has now 27 victories in the NCAA tournament. That's not enough, given the time he's been a coach and the incredible regular season of success he's had. but like you're acting like the dude's never ever had any success ever in the NCAA tournament. It's kind of dumb and untrue.
Yeah. Now it's got to be better. We talked about that for a long time. Like it's,
of course,
it's got to be better. And it is interesting to think about now the path that has opened up for this team, because there were no expectations, at least very little expectation about for this Tennessee team, given Ziegler's injury, given the way that they had played coming down the stretch. You know, I threw it out there on Twitter. We talked about it on the show. Like, were there any Tennessee fans that were really all that excited about the tournament coming around? And there weren't. There were not a whole lot of Tennessee fans fired up. Now, that's changed now with two wins, and now you're going to the Sweet 16. And, oh, by the way, Purdue lost, so the bracket on that side of it has opened up with the one seed going down. You got FAU coming up this week. And as you laid out earlier, FAU is a good team. They've made it to the Sweet 16. The numbers on them are really good. So this is a challenge for Tennessee, but it does feel different than having to go take on Purdue as the number one seed. And what a story it would be if, given the expectation of last year's team heading into the tournament, I think back to the Admiral Schofield, Grant Williams team and the expectations that they had heading into the tournament. What a story it would be if this is the team that gets to the Elite Eight or maybe even a Final Four for Rick Barnes.
Yep, and this does happen sometimes. You just have – you had a much better team 1 year. I'll give you a reference. You know, Dominique Wilkins in Georgia, okay? Dominique Wilkins at Georgia was ridiculous. And I'm dating myself, but like and he was ridiculous in the NBA too. I think he's an underrated all-time player in the NBA. The year after he left, Georgia makes the Final Four. You know, I mean, like sometimes it just works out that way. It's right there for them. It's right there for them. Florida Atlantic is a very good team. I think that it's a better matchup for Tennessee than Fairleigh Dickinson. I think Fairleigh Dickinson being the story of the tournament this week and being in the Garden and then just a bunch of little guys running around shooting threes and basically like just collapsing on bigs and saying, okay, beat us with your outside shots. That's exactly the kind of game you don't want to get into if you're like the heavy favorite.
Yep.
It'd be the opposite psychology of the last game. Florida Atlantic is very good, but I think Tennessee's better, and I think they have a great chance to win, and I think they would have a great chance against Kansas State or Michigan State too. So we'll see, but that's the thing. You get to this level, and it's hard not to look ahead and think about what's possible. When these opportunities are so hard to get, and this is – you're talking about one more win over Florida Atlantic to get the second Elite Eight in school history – to play for the first Final Four in school history. Just, it's hard to get here, and now you have to take advantage.
You do. Now, I still understand the Tennessee fan that says, wait a minute, so still hard to trust this team. Let's not start talking about Final Four just because the path has opened up a little bit on their side of the bracket, and I get that. I mean, Tennessee, they're still, I think, offensively limited as to what they can be without Ziegler in there. But defensively, as you brought up, I mean, they're still an elite team. And I look at their team. I don't think James has shot the ball all that well so far in the tournament. Vescovy was much better against Duke than he was against Louisiana. Now, part of that was he didn't get in foul trouble and he got more opportunities to shoot. You know, Kamwa's not going to give you 27 every game, but there are pieces there offensively where they can still play better than they've played to this point offensively. And if you can do that and you combine it with the defense, then you're going to be in good shape. Now, you look at FAU, they take down Memphis, which really kind of hurts me because we could be talking about Tennessee-Memphis right now, and I think it'd be awesome. But it is FAU coming up. I'm interested to see, you know, Julian Phillips had a big dunk in the game on Saturday. He's not played a whole lot, played 19 minutes. Does he become more involved as they go down the stretch here, depending on the matchup? And can James get going offensively a little bit with the shooting? He was 3 of 12 on Saturday, 1 of 5 from 3, only 7 points. They haven't needed him to be great yet. He did have some clutch free throws against Louisiana, but can he get going a little bit offensively?
Yeah, that would help. Obviously, he's so huge defensively.
Yep.
Tyreek Key has earned more minutes lately at the expense of Julian Phillips because Tyreek Key at least gives you the more consistent shooting presence. He was 1 for 7 against Duke. I think Phillips clearly is not all right. That's one thing that from being up close this weekend, I think the hip flex, he had the hip flexor, and those can linger. I think that has to be part of this, but yeah. Now he did have like the tip dunk, and you're like, oh yeah, see, there's that guy. Yeah, they could get a little bit more from him. That would help a lot, but play that defense, and you know, you're gonna give yourself a chance. They also need, you know, Jemai Mashak is a huge. He did not have. I thought he actually was huge in the Louisiana game.
Yep.
You know, Louisiana's going on these runs, and it's just like, oh, and the Vols were tightening up. And he just stepped up and just hit a couple shots, a couple mid-range shots just to calm it down, end a drought. And that's what you need. He's, you know, I was going to say, from your point guard. And that's basically what he's become. I mean, they'll switch that up, whoever brings the ball up. But he, at times, is got the ball, and it's very different. And there, you know, Zakai Ziegler could at times just, you know, create something, get in the lane, get somebody a shot, or hit his own shot. And it's not the same, but Mashak is kind of figuring it out. And defensively, he's been great as a point guard. By the way, Ziegler, what a week for him. You know, I'm sure if he were playing, he would have been so excited to think about the idea of going back to New York to play. Oh, and, of course, I'm sure he's still going to be thrilled to be in the Garden, but to not be able to play, oh, man. It's got to be tough. Got to be quite a mix of emotions for him.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Daryl from Columbia. Daryl, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Joe, you mentioned Georgia. I grew up in Virginia, in ACC country, and I remember Ralph Sampson,
yeah,
they were ranked number one a couple of years in a row. They didn't make the Final Four until the year after he graduated. They had two point guards, Ricky Stokes and Othell Wilson, that let them. They lost in the Final Four. But, you talk about super teams and super players, sometimes it happens. I'm not surprised at all that Tennessee beat Duke. In fact, I called it with all my workmates at work because Duke's young, very young, not very big inside. And the experience and the experience of the Tennessee team took advantage of them. I go back to – I'm a South Carolina guy – The one year we made the Final Four, we beat Duke, and we made it to the Final Four losing to Gonzaga. But we had a senior laden team with a bunch of experience. And you see, like Kentucky, they can get all the five blue chippers they want, but just because you got five star guys that are going to the NBA, you can take a senior laden team and they'll beat those teams with the blue chippers. Sometimes it just happens. I'll hang up and listen. Enjoy the show. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Daryl. Appreciate it. I mean,
no doubt. 24-year-old Juroš Plavšić.
Yeah.
7'1", 265, 24 years old.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and the other part of that is I think they did exactly what you said they should do, and that is they totally bought into being the underdog, and you could tell. Like, they played that way, and based on their comments after the game, that was a big talking point in that Tennessee locker room of, nobody's really giving us a chance. Let's go out and show everybody who we are. And that's what they did on Saturday.
Yeah, and another program I'm very familiar with that's also in New York. They're the great classic example. They don't have I don't think they have an NBA player on their team. I don't think so. And they're old. They've been together. They play together. So Michigan State is some of the parts. I mean, Marquette's better than them flat out. And Kansas State is too. But we'll see. That being old, having good chemistry, all that stuff matters. And you know, you mentioned James not shooting well, and he didn't, and they can use that. They could use him getting hot from outside. But James and Vescovy, to me, that was a legacy game for those guys. Those guys have been – you can't possibly ask for better, like, leaders, guys, program representatives, and really solid players. But last year against Michigan, both of them just had shot after shot, and Michigan basically said, Kennedy Chandler – we're zoning you. You will not get to the rim anymore. All these old guys, yeah, go ahead, take your shots.
Right.
And it shouldn't have worked. I mean, really, like what the way Tennessee executed there, like what Rick Barnes did as a coach there, like to Michelle's point earlier about Calipari and like just missing shots, exactly what you should do. Yes, you'll take wide open threes. They didn't hit them. And so it's like, are these guys ever going to step up? This was a legacy win for them to come up and make the plays they did, because James was incredible on D too. So, now, more legacy wins available to continue rewriting that.
We'll continue the conversation on the NCAA tournament, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts coming up on that next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from our friends at Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. And it is just the best time of the year. We've got college basketball galore. We got to go a couple days without it, but it'll be back in action at the end of the week. And this is the year that you should use Superbook to beat Vegas. Superbook features some of the best prop bets and odd boosts, and Superbook gives you the chance every single week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. One of the games I'm looking at in Madison Square Garden this week, it's Michigan State, Kansas State. It's pretty much a pick'em. I really trust Tom Izzo in March, but this Kansas State team, I really like them. I love their point guard, so I am giving Kansas State a little bit of the edge. And one of the reasons Superbook is my favorite sports book is because there's no fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at Superbook in Las Vegas. Like I said, they've got some great odds boost and promo bet. So download the Superbook Sportsbook app or visit Superbook.com to start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call
1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, and our fearless leader, Chase McCabe, dropping by the studio as well, solving the world's problems. Come see Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace live, followed by Stillman & Company at Central Barbecue in Hillsborough Village this Thursday, March 23rd. Come by for some great Memphis-style barbecue and catch your favorite teams compete in the tournament. Again, that's Central Barbecue in Hillsborough Village coming up this Thursday.
Speaking of Caroline and Jared, Michael has a great question on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Joe, have you been retroactively awarded the victory in Jared versus Joe? I have not heard this yet officially from Caroline, but I look forward to that official announcement today.
I think she's out today. Without even doing the competition, you should probably win this Wednesday's.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Although, if we do it like that, though, then the gamblers can't.
I know
you take away gambling, so I don't want to take the fun away from all those folks out
Joe,
there.
Joe, it just proves Mark that you actually watch college basketball year round. You and me, we picked the Vols because we support college basketball.
Yes, that's fine.
He also picked Purdue to win the national title.
That was my next comment. That was my next comment. I mean, I also had Purdue win it. I mean, I'm sure there's got to be some crap on your bracket, right? I mean.
No, I'm perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Arizona hurt me.
Yep.
Princeton beating Missouri, that hurt me. I had Texas A&M in the Final Four. That hurt me, Penn State.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I mean, it's a joke, but it's also kind of true. How many people win their pool who, like, picks based on the – it's like a four-year-old who picks, like, based on the shoes, right?
No, I was saying, like, my friend's four-year-old the other day picked Princeton to win and picked Furman to win.
I love it.
Like, just think about the amount of people in the country that had that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Four-year-old's one of them.
I think ESPN said like there were 618 perfect brackets or something of those games. And like 520 of them were four-year-olds.
Yeah.
So, but yes, this piece of – the piece of analysis that Jared likes to do a lot is like, oh, there's no chance this could have – this is – you know. Come on, man. And the thing with those teams is, again, Tennessee's been better than Duke this year. I mean, this is not – this is not Duke with, you know, Tyus Jones and all those guys whose names are now eluding me, even though it was only 8 years ago that won it all.
Justice Winslow, my guy.
Justice Winslow. That was a different team.
Grayson freaking Allen.
Grayson Allen.
Oh, yeah. But, well, you know, yeah, I was going to say Jabari Smith, but that Duke team did not do well. This is not a vintage, completely fully loaded Duke team. It has flaws. And so does Tennessee, but tell you what, Tennessee, they can check. And if you are the best defensive team in the tournament and you're just fine offensively, you can win games.
Yep.
And that's what they need to be in New York.
And we'll see if they can win a couple of more coming up this weekend and see if they can get to the Final Four. Other games in the tournament, we've talked about Kentucky today. They lose to Kansas State yesterday, so – Yet another loss before the Sweet 16. I checked out a piece that Kyle Tucker, friend of the show, has put together at The Athletic, and it kind of goes through the recent history of Kentucky in the tournament. And one common theme throughout all these recent losses is their outside shooting has been horrible in these losses. And it was again yesterday against Kansas State. Now, look, the rebounding edge, it was like 44 to 24 or something like that, yeah. Rebounding-wise. It was unbelievable, the rebounding edge that they had. They couldn't hit a shot from the outside. And here we are yet again, Kentucky out of the tournament early, and lots of Kentucky fans very upset today.
I have a point quick, and in it regard, it goes with all of this. Kyle Tucker tweeted something and said, so about this year of the big man, five veteran All-American centers are already out of the tournament. Zach Edey, first round. Oscar Tshiebwe, second round. Jackson Davis of Indiana, second round. Hunter Dickerson, INT, and Armando. Oh, my goodness.
Baycott.
I can't speak this morning. Yeah, but, you know, it just goes further to say, I mean, they had Oscar Tshiebwe. It's really sad because he's one of the best players in college basketball. I mean, the guy had 25 rebounds on Friday and then 18. He had a double-double in the first half of the game. It's insane, but it just goes to show. I mean, Kansas State, at the end of the game, they had guards who could make threes.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I feel terrible for Oscar Tshiebwe. I mean, all joking aside, at your expense, that guy deserved to be in this weekend, and he did everything you could do. But
like everything. Three Kansas State guys just on him. He just
– he's incredible.
It's sad for him.
But, I mean, like, basically they just said, here, I mean, a guy who hadn't taken a shot in forever just, boom, here's a three, and then, oh, here's another three, and you're done. You know, that's the tournament.
Yeah. Hard play.
That's the and Kansas State now going on to take on Michigan State. I do, like, from Kentucky standpoint and Cal, like, you said it earlier, Joe, he's got figured out. Like, this is – he gets paid a whole lot of money to win at a much higher level than he's won recently at Kentucky, and a lot of that fan base is fed up with it, based on what I've seen.
It's totally fair. You know, like yesterday, we talked about this earlier. To me, it's like basically as a coach, you judge a performance based on what were your shots like, what were their shots like. If you get better shots, basically like you've done your job. I would argue that Kentucky got better shots yesterday.
Yes,
and, you know, and they just but. There's a lot of that goes into this being a coach, and some of it is being a psychologist and Mars. I mean, all that stuff. Bottom line is, yeah, he's paid so much. He's expected. This is a program that's expected to be in Final Fours, and he's got an incredible class coming in next year. So he's got to do the right thing in the portal. I will say, Tshiebwe could easily come back, right? I mean, I don't like the NBA. He's not an NBA player.
Thank you. Right? Let's make this happen.
I mean, I mean, the NIL money is coming in, and he's just – if he were 2-3 inches taller, then he could do what he does in the NBA, but he's not. And, I don't think he would be a prominent pick. So maybe Kentucky went on.
We'll see what happens.
The year before.
We did say that last year, didn't we?
Alabama looks like their path is it's looking pretty good. The Final Four,
yes,
looking pretty good.
They look pretty good.
And I'm like, are they going to have any competition? Because a part of me is like, could they win by like 15 points in every game? Honestly,
yes. I mean, I saw San Diego State up close this weekend. You know, that was the other side in Orlando, and I was very impressed. San Diego State is a legit defensive team, and they are going to be, you know, into this matchup, but they just offensively, they don't have enough. That's the thing. No one talks about Alabama's defense, but it's also elite. And so I think Alabama is going to win two games decisively and get to Houston. Also, I was really impressed. Auburn and Birmingham going nuts, up 10 at the half. Houston looks good.
Yep.
I mean, now Houston, if it's either Xavier or Texas, you know, if Houston gets by Miami. Miami, by the way, I mean, put it to Indiana last night. Let's not just dismiss them, but that could be a really good Elite Eight game if it's Houston against, well, what about Houston against Texas for the right to go play in the Final Four in Houston? Mm. Ooh, boy.
I like that one. Could be spicy for sure. Is Fairleigh Dickinson the biggest upset of all time?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, by the numbers – I mean, a losing team didn't win its conference, as Michelle ranted earlier. Merrimack, you know, this transitional crap. So Fairleigh Dickinson gets in by the numbers, by the – I mean, like, not just no one taller than 6'3",
yeah,
but also just, like, the metrics are, like, awful for that team. And I will say, last night, I was entertained watching them again, and they got a couple guys who can play. But, yes, that is the biggest upset in NCAA tournament history. It's bigger than UMBC over Virginia. UMBC profiled much better than Fairleigh Dickinson.
How about Princeton taking down Arizona and then Missouri? Princeton finds themselves in the Sweet 16, a nice Creighton-Princeton matchup that we all had written down before the tournament.
Yeah, Alabama's like, thank you. I mean, I need Princeton, Alabama, and Princeton hitting like 23s.
That'd be
you know,
awesome.
I watch them. I like Missouri a lot. I think he's done a great job this year. Just watch Missouri outplay Tennessee. They had no answers for them.
No.
They defensively, they had no answers for Princeton.
It's amazing.
None. Just forget about it. I mean, what was the final score of that? 78-63.
Correct.
Just got rocked.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
What a tournament.
That's going to do it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.